Hey everybody, it's Kai Rizdahl. Welcome back to Make Me Smart Daily. This is the Thursday edition of the show where Molly Wood and I try our best to make today make sense.
Exactly. It's Thursday, which means it's just a regular show in our kind of weird roster of shows. It's not a big show. It's not a question show. It's not a drinking show. It is kind of Kai's Friday. I feel like I should warn you guys.
Yeah. Let's do that full disclosure. Who's coming? Who's going to be here?
Aren't you so proud? Andy Uhler is going to be here. So just for tell your baseball friends that is probably all we're going to be talking about.
You will have sports stories galore.
He is so excited. And also, I think we should all join in like a little round of applause for Kai for self-care.
Taking a slow clap for the self-care. Come on. It
good for you.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes.
In all sincerity. Good for you.
Thank you. I'm very much looking forward to it.
And I'm kind of, I was going to say, I'm kind of happy to see that our news isn't all the way in the dark place today.
No.
But like a little.
I think it's realistic and contextual news, right?
Yes. Exactly.
Yeah. So there you go.
Yep.
Okay.
All right. You want to start?
No,
okay.
You go first.
Mine's maybe a little, mine might be a little happier. We talked about on the show how Twitter basically said to its employees, some of you never have to come back to work. You're just going to, if you want to work from home permanently, you can. And I suspect that is just the start of a trend. I mean, Facebook and Google have already basically told people they don't need to come back this year. And I think increasingly we're going to find that the idea of location just isn't, there are parts of it that are important, but there are parts that won't be. And so that is causing, at least according to Bloomberg, and I think people had already started to say the same thing about all kinds of things, which is just like, does it matter where I am at all? And if it doesn't matter where I am at all, and I never have to come back to Twitter, for example, couldn't I just go somewhere way cheaper to live?
Yep. Where there's more room and cleaner air and all that good stuff.
Right. Exactly. And you could actually buy a house instead of renting a one bedroom apartment for $3,600 a month that has like a pole in the, $3,600 a month for a one bedroom, by the way, is like wishful thinking in San Francisco.
In Silicon Valley. Yeah.
In some cases in Silicon Valley. So I think that this is potentially really interesting as we talk about the long-term impacts of this and we talk about more companies potentially doing this. I don't know how big a movement or a wave this is going to start to be, but if you've looked at the things that would equalize salaries across the United States or just create more geographic diversity, this could really be one of them. And then there's a lot of, there's a lot that's interesting about that. Like, it's never a good thing when tech employees come and they bring their huge salaries to your housing market.
Yeah.
Exactly. It is a good thing for a little while for the people who are selling those houses, but maybe it does start to make markets at least a little more even, housing markets. And also it just gets really interesting if you don't have all of the same kinds of people concentrated on the coasts.
Yeah, I think that would be totally interesting. I think there are some downsides depending on where you sit on the particular side of this equation. Like, for instance, if you own a restaurant in a busy office hub in San Francisco or in Manhattan and people don't have to come anymore, right? What do you do?
Right.
So there's
exactly.
that. But look, your invocation of the moving away from the coast thing is really interesting, right? Because if I can work in, Silicon Valley, as it were, and live in Missoula, Montana, and go fly fishing every afternoon, I might do that.
I'm not a fly fisher. Although, I'm just saying, when the wind screams through that canyon in Missoula, Montana, you will want to come back to the coast.
Okay, but I went to your backyard, but you know what I mean, right?
No, and I would go there in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
I would go to that backyard in heartbeat. Yeah. And then what is also interesting is like we have been promised for so long that the information economy would make geography irrelevant when it came to hiring.
Yep.
And so here are all these companies who are having a huge problem finding talent. And if they actually can untether location from the business, then all of a sudden the talent pool is way bigger.
Yeah. Do you put any stock in the getting in and out of, and we keep picking on San Francisco because Twitter's the first one that did it, right? Getting into and out of there is a pain in the butt and it's expensive and yada, yada. But there are synergies and productivity gains of having everybody in a room in a brainstorming session that make it worthwhile.
Yep.
Do you buy that?
I mean, I think some of that is true. Yeah. Absolutely. I think there, you know, there isn't really going to be a substitute for face-to-face for certain jobs, and there's a lot to be said for it. But I think, was it on Mark? I heard recently on an audio program, so probably Mark.
Yeah.
That, you know, it's sort of like, yeah, but at the same time, we're finding that a lot of the machinations of work aren't as necessary as we thought they were, and that maybe you can figure out a way. And maybe it's, look, maybe it's 25% of your employee base.
Yep.
Maybe a truly distributed company won't work as well. But I think this is really interesting. And I think considering the inequality that we see in the United States, where so much like money and economic activity is concentrating on the coasts, that the idea of more geographic diversity in the tech industry specifically would be, and other industries too, could be beneficial in the really long term.
I agree.
I'm trying to go to a happy place.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Fair enough. Yeah. Fair enough. All right. So mine is somewhat related, just in terms of the whole, you know, that restaurant in that busy, you know, office hub or whatever. I saw this on Bloomberg today. It's data from OpenTable. It's a forecast, actually, but I'll give you the data first. Mm-hmm. So on May 13th, which is, oh, by the way, yesterday, total reservations and walk-in customers from OpenTable's network, and OpenTable is a company that lets you make reservations at restaurants, right? A web platform service. They were down, total reservations and walk-ins, down 95% yesterday from a year earlier. So restaurants ain't bouncing back anytime soon. But OpenTable has crunched its own data and come out with a forecast that says one of every four restaurants in the United States will go out of business because of these quarantines and lockdowns, which is just staggering, right? I mean, in a way, it makes sense, right? Because people, I saw a survey the other day that said more people would be willing to fly than go to a restaurant, which is kind of interesting. But also,
really?
Restaurants have, yeah, I'll try to find it. Restaurants have notoriously thin margins, of course. And I think just the prospect of sitting down and having, you know, somebody approach you and give you your food and all that jazz is a chilling prospect. So in a way, this makes sense. But that, come on, 25% of all the restaurants, 25% of the restaurants in the United States going out of business, that's bananas. What does that even look like?
That is bananas. And it isn't, and to be like perfectly precise, it isn't necessarily because of the quarantines and lockdowns, right? If that was the starter blow, I mean, it's really the virus, because it's whether people, like you said, will want to go again. I mean, a lot of them are going to have to pivot to, we talked about the cloud kitchen thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a real question whether takeout can be enough. And then that just doesn't employ as many people. Yeah, that's awful.
Yeah. Hmm. So people look, really, I hope they're wrong. I hope they're wrong.
Rather fly?
Yeah, now I'm going to
though. What in the, and no, and then our producer Jody points out, our senior editor Jody points out that what, like, chains will probably be okay. Which, ugh.
Yeah.
The idea that we will only be left with, man, I'm telling you, Demolition Man with Sylvester Stallone and Wesley Snipes and Sandra Bullock is like the dumbest and yet most prophetic movie. There's like entire research papers written about how Demolition Man is this weirdly prophetic movie when it comes to tech and then also cultural changes. And one of them is that Taco Bell is basically the only restaurant and the nicest restaurant left in the world. In the greater metro area of San Angeles.
Yeah. All right. I can't find that poll or that survey, but so maybe I made it up. But anyway, restaurants are going out of business.
I hope they're wrong.
And airlines are going to go out of business too. Anyway. Okay. Shall we?
Yeah. Yeah. Let's definitely get to the smiling.
Right. There we go. Okay, mine's just a super quick.
It has space. Mine's a super quick. I'm so excited.
Well, that's part of what appealed to me, is that it would appeal to you. I, too, am a space geek. I just think it's awesomely cool, right? The whole Apollo thing and space shuttles and, you know, all that jazz. Anyway, so SpaceX, which, as you know, is working on a manned spaceflight program to the International Space Station, has a web-based simulator out, where you can attempt to fly the Dragon manned capsule, I guess it's called. I don't even know. Crewed capsule, sorry. to a rendezvous with the International Space Station. Now, I should tell you, it'll take you a couple of tries, and it takes like probably 15 minutes because, as this simulator says, everything in space is slow. But anyway, the URL is ISS-SIM.SpaceX.com. It is so cool. It's so cool. And also it's hard, by the way. Takes a while, slow and steady, nice and easy, right? But it's super cool. And I spent some time when I should have been working on Marketplace today doing this.
I mean, I'm not saying that I'm not paying attention to everything that you're saying right now. I'm just saying,
it's really fun.
I'm trying to figure out which corresponding keyboard keys I need here.
Yaw. Yeah, so it's pitch, roll, and yaw, and then translate up, down, right, and left. It's super cool. It's super cool. Check it out.
Oh,
ISS-SIM.SpaceX.com. Yeah, takes
this
a while.
So awesome. Gotta watch. It is totally an exercise in mindfulness.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. Uh-huh. It really is.
It's a meditation.
You
got to
figure out the x-axis
this.
And the y-axis and the z-axis. Yeah, it's all cool. It's super cool.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, that's
it
mine.
It seems like you may have had a built-in advantage here. I love this. This is amazing. I know that was such a sweet thing to say. I got to move away from this and let my aircraft crash into the ISS for a second.
Yeah, that's fine. just hit that reload button. You'll be fine.
Yeah, totally. I chose two things because I couldn't choose and I wanted some extra smiles. That's one, okay. I just thought was like really neat. This guy on Twitter, Mark Richardson, tweeted the other day and said, I work for the Canadian federal government and they sent out an email with work at home guiding principles and said, it's amazing to work for a place that speaks like this. And the principles are just like, I'm not going to read them all. There's six, but it's like, you're not working from home. You are at your home during a crisis trying to work.
Yeah.
Amazing. Yep. You will be kind to others and not judge how they are coping based on how you are coping. You will be kind to yourself. And not judge how you are coping based on how you see others coping. It is remarkable. And also, and I thought this was really important as a workplace thing, number six, your team success will not be measured the same way it was when things were normal. Which I think is real, which like companies need to hear.
Well, you know, it's really interesting because just today at Marketplace, and I'm sure you're going to go through this the next day or two, we had some training on how to work productively from home. And part of it was team-based and all of that jazz. So yeah, that's really interesting. Yeah.
It is really interesting. And like, you know, when we're at a time when company risk assessment should include, or productivity assessment should include like people's toddlers, right? Yeah. Like it's a different.
Right.
It's like that matters. And then the other one is actually came from Kimberly Adams. And I think that this is so great. There's this clothing company, ministryofsupply.com. Mm-hmm. And their whole deal is like, we just sell kind of generic looking work clothes. They're like, don't stress about work clothes, we have that covered.
Yeah.
They have created a program where if you are going to an interview, a job interview, and you don't have the money for a nice job interview outfit, you can fill out an application in the US and they will send you the stuff.
Oh.
And they'll send
that's great.
You for free. And they'll send you all the stuff. Hmm. They'll send you like the socks and the underwear and the foundation undergarments and the shoes. Like, it is pretty remarkable. Yeah. It's probably going to be overwhelmed quickly. And they said, you know, we're starting it in the United States. But I thought that was amazing. Courtesy interview clothing rentals.
There you go.
Shirts,
there
pants, socks. Good job, company.
That's a public service announcement right there.
I know. I loved
right
it.
There.
Loved it.
Yep. Good.
Yep.
Good, good.
That's all it. Right. Yeah.
We on the way out?
We're on the way out.
We are
also this show, public service. That's it. Email us, send us your questions for What Do You Want to Know Wednesday?
Yep.
Marketplace, makemesmart@marketplace.org. You can, of course, donate at marketplace.org/givesmart. And I will see you tomorrow.
I will not.
And Kai will hopefully just be like laying in the yard.
Whatever. Playing with my
dogs. Is there
dogs.
A hammock? There should be a hammock.
Oh, you know what?
We in do my mind.
One of the kids has a hammock. That's a great idea.
Get the hammock.
There is a hammock. There will be hammock. There will be beer. There will be me just sitting around on my toes doing nothing.
So good. Good job. And maybe
nothing.
Doing that simulator.
Yeah, Well, no, I did it once already. I started this morning, and by the third attempt this afternoon, I was done. I docked.
I'm doing, by the way, I'm doing better. I just checked on my tab. I'm doing better not steering. I was closer to a successful docking not steering than I am when I press the buttons. Make Me Smart is produced and directed by Sam Anderson. One of us here is a pilot, and it's not me. Our digital producer is Tony Wagner. Our senior producer is Jody Becker. Ben Hethcote produces video with the help of our intern, Ethan Peretz, whose birthday it is today.
Yay.
Happy birthday, Ethan. Erica Phillips writes our newsletter and our smart speaker explainers.
Today's program was engineered by Daniel Ramirez. Our theme music was composed by Ben Tolliday and Daniel Ramirez. The executive director of On Demand is Tatar Nieves. The senior vice president and general manager is Deborah Clark. Timing is everything.
Nice. I took an aviation class when I was in high school, which was kind of awesome.
Yeah.
And we got to like go and fly in a little plane and stuff. And then the year I graduated, the guy who taught it got busted running drugs in his little plane from Canada into North Dakota.
Man.
I do not believe there was any weed on the flights that we took, but who knows?
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.